Well, surprise, surprise, surprise. That's right. It's Ann Eller right here. We're starting a new show here because we have so many people and so many things to talk about. We're going to be doing a show about WCRS, caring about our hometown. And my first guest here today is none other than the very best person to know, George McKinney with Emergency Management. How's everything going, George?
Busy.
Yeah, it was, you said 5:30? I think I can make that one. So this is great. How's what can you tell us? What do we need to know?
Well, the first thing we need to know that we're working well with all of the other individuals and other agencies in the county, as well as nonprofits, as well as others, pulling together a good plan on how we're attacking this virus and controlling the spread, I would say, of that virus within here. And I think most of the public needs to be aware that there's ability to go forward with this and not panic. The biggest thing is, the worst thing we can do is panic.
We've seen that in the grocery stores for sure.
Correct. Yes. And that's what we're looking at is everybody should have a freezer full and a cupboard full now of food and stuff. And so we need to kind of step back a little bit and look at what we really need.
But the other thing, George, there's nothing else to do except go to the grocery store now.
There's lots of stuff to do. I mean, you can go out, you can take walks now. You don't have all of the harried stuff that you have to do about rushing back and forth to different places and doing these things now. So go out and take some time and just walk around your neighborhood. That's a good thing to do. It'll help clear your mind.
It will clear your mind. And the other thing is, it is a time where we can be helping our neighbors and be looking out for those that need to be looked out for.
Sure. And I mean, that is a big thing. I mean, right now, as we are out there, this is a time to start knowing your neighbor even better. Go into your neighborhood, find out who is those that are elderly and those that may have secondary cases of issues from a illness or something, that they may not be able to get out to go to the grocery store. They may not be able to go pay their bills or stuff, and determine a way to help them out. I know that's what we're doing in our neighborhood right now. We've worked through we have a coffee club there, and they've gone through and found those individuals, and we are now working with them. If they don't have somebody there to support them, we need to be there to support them now. And it's going to take us all to get there. I'd say one of the things, none of us is as good as all of us. And what I mean by that is we can all work together to help everybody else that's out there. And I think it's important that we do that as we go forward in this. And that will relieve a lot of the panic and the concern that is out there. As I said, talking earlier today, is that this virus is serious. And I do take it seriously. And we are working to make sure that we're ready for this. But there's also another side to this, that there's about 90% of the individuals that get this are having a mild to moderate case of this, about like what a flu would be in lots of cases. So we need to realize that too. As I told somebody other today, I said, you know, if I went to Vegas tomorrow and somebody told me you got a 90% chance of winning this, I put money on it. But I know they have true. I have a 10% chance of losing or winning if you really go out there best. So that's the reason I would look at it. So you've got some options here to help your neighbors at this time, working in the community and helping those individuals out. And don't forget your businesses and stuff, as far as your restaurants and different things of that nature. If you have been visiting them in the past at lunch or whatever, they're still open, they're still looking, they will serve you food and stuff there. May not be able to sit down anymore.
And a lot of them have come up with some unique ideas for takeout, like family meals and this type of thing. It's not just your regular takeout.
Correct. And that's what I'm looking for, is for people to do that, because on the backside of this, we're going to be wanting those businesses to be here. So we need to still support them right now as we're going forward, because it's critical as we do that.
And it's not only just our local businesses, but all of our businesses, because they all have people working in them that are from our communities.
Correct. Yeah, because this is hitting us hard, and it's going to be hard on the backside of this. We should be able to recover fast, but the more we're able to go out and do this, that's great. I do understand that people are losing their jobs and stuff, and if you can't, I understand that. But if you have that capability, I do encourage you to still go out and patronize those places to help the businesses along.
That's right. And if you're buying, buy local, you know, because we have so many businesses that need your support right now. And I know so many businesses, I was kind of amused, but thought it was a good idea, too. Some of the uptown businesses will bring it curbside right out to you if you buy something. Main and Maxwell and Thayer's and some of these others. Correct. So do support our local businesses. They need it more right now than ever.
That's true. And that's going to be the lifeblood of us on the backside of this, I think.
So from the governor's perspective, I think Governor McMaster has certainly been proactive and has certainly tried to make sure that South Carolina, you know, the beauty, I think, of South Carolina is we are a small state.
Yes, I think so, too. I think that's good.
When you look at something like New York or California, they're so huge, they can't move fast. But in South Carolina, we can move fast to do things. And I do think, if you talk to the governor, I don't know when I'll get to talk to him, but please tell him what a service it was to allow curbside liquor service, the beer and wine, to be picked up. Well, that is huge.
I think it is. I mean, and I think he is thinking outside of the box. I mean, and that's what we've got to do in these times. I mean, I saw in the paper today that we've got individuals making masks for the hospital and stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, they're not the N95s that are going to do all of this, but they're going to be able to give people the capability of doing stuff. Maybe they're only there to keep people from touching their nose and their mouth, but that's something out there. So I encourage people to think outside of the box. What we're doing, what we do on a normal day-to-day is not normal day-to-day now. So we have to think about how we can best do things now based on the current situation.
I know, speaking of masks, I know that people that do spray painting and this type of thing, they have those type of masks, most likely. Right. And they're saying if you can donate those to the hospitals, whatever, that would be a huge help because they just don't have them coming down the pike fast enough.
And that's true. That we've got, if you can do any donations, I know we've had businesses cross here, colleges, different things that have donated. And if you can do that, that's a great thing to do right now because they're the ones that are going to be hit the hardest initially with this. And so we need to make sure that they're there. We just do not want to overcome our current medical systems that we have here, because if we do, then that just really will tear us down more. So having those what we call personal protective equipment for those individuals is critical. Same thing for our first responders and stuff, having that out there because they're the first ones on the line that are there. So if you have the capability to donate, please do. And you can get in touch with the hospital, or you can give me a call at 942-8553 if you want to donate. And we'll definitely work with you to get that taken care of.
Wow, that is awesome. And that would be such a good thing. So anybody that does have a box of masks, or how about hazmat protection? Have you got any hazmat suits there, George?
We are using some of those.
Are you really?
Yeah, some of our first responders are going to what do we call Tyvek, which are hazmat suits that we have had for other things. And so we're using anything and everything that we can. So if you have people coming to your house, please don't be worried about it. But that's one of the things that we're asking, too, that when you're called by 911, you're going to be asked a series of questions that will say, hey, do you have a cough? Do you have a fever? Do you have shortness of breath? Things of that nature. And that's what we're trying to do is identify those individuals early on so that we can put our people in PPE or personal protective equipment early on so that they know it. And because if they're not there, what we end up doing, if we do find somebody that is positive and they were there, we end up having to lose them for 14 days. And that's when you
can't afford to be doing that.
We can't do
time.
That. That's okay. Right. So it's very important that when you get those questions, please answer them and let us
honestly
know. Yeah. And so that we're there to help. We're not, it's not that we're not coming, but we want to be prepared when we get there.
Now, just out of curiosity, if they're transporting somebody that they believe might have the virus, would they be sanitizing the whole ambulance?
Correct. Or, that's what we do. We're doing that after every, whether they are saying show signs of that right now, we're doing that. We've also got a contract that we're working with a company right now that they will be doing a sanitation of our vehicles about once a week, every 10 days, something like that. So we're still going to go through that process of doing that additional stuff as well.
You know, it is amazing when we look at the flu kills so many people. What is the difference, George, between the flu and this COVID-19? I mean, why have we gotten so over the top with this when we have so many more people killed by the flu every year.
And that's a good thing. It's new.
It's
unknown. Okay. It is an unknown. And none of us have any protection against it. Initially, in the flu season, we have some protection. We have a vaccine or something like that. We may still get the flu, but we've been through that flu, too, lots of people, and we've seen what happens with that. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's an unknown. And I think that is what is driving that out there so much right now. And so, I'm not saying it is like the flu. It isn't in the sense of that, of the what you're doing. But we just got to be able to work through that process. I mean, you're going to cough. You're going to have issues with breathing and stuff of that nature. In
they
some cases.
The cough is just, you can't even catch your breath.
Yeah.
I mean, not the normal cold or this type of thing where you cough, but I mean, it just goes on.
But, you know, if you look at, I think it's Senator Rand Paul. He is showing no signs, but he had tested positive for it.
Yeah, so, they're saying they need to put him in a hazmat suit and let him get back to work. They need his vote.
Yeah, I think so, too. But, you know, that's what I'm saying is it is so varied across the spectrum of what can happen. And so I think that is the biggest thing. The fear of the unknown is the biggest thing that drives a lot of panic. And so, like I say, is trying to read up on this, study up on this, and get the words from reputable sites such as the CDC, WHO, DHEC, and looking at those. John Hopkins has a great site that to go to as well, and those will give you some better understanding of this. And in today's world, they have, not to my knowledge, has any network or internet provider shut down yet. So I would say
it's perfectly safe to talk on the radio, George.
Oh, it is. It is. I would say that too. I mean, but I'm just saying when you do your research and stuff, it's out there. So please go out there, but make sure it's reputable. Like I say, I would go to DHEC, WHO, CDC, and or John Hopkins, and there's probably some others out there. Those are the ones that I've been going to most. Not that the others aren't. It's just when I first started out, John Hopkins was probably the best in the sense of outside of the CDC in those. So if you find those sites, go to them. And like I say, they're very reputable, and do it. And if you have questions and stuff, definitely search it on the internet. But if you feel that you are having issues and stuff, please call Self Regional at 725-4200. They have a screening capability there. And if you can't reach them, MUSC has that online as well. And you can go to their website and go through that too. And they will talk you through the process and they will ask you questions and they can give you information based on that as to whether you may or may not, or whether you do need to be screened or do not need to be screened. And that's what
now,
they're
doing. What about the screening? Speaking of the screening, how many test kits, how are we doing this? Do you have to show potential systems to get tested?
Yes, and that's the reason they're screening, because the problem with this is if I test you today and you're negative, you have a false sense of security because tomorrow you may become infected. So what we're trying to do is what they're trying to do is go through and screen individuals that are showing signs and having those individuals then come to be tested. And the testing is done this way as of right now, last I heard. So things change. This has been very fluid situation. So what they do is if you go to Self and they say come in, they will schedule you a screening time or a testing time. You drive up, they will come in, they will swab you, and then they will take that swab back, and then they will send that to DHEC. And DHEC will then test that, or they may send it to a private lab, depending on what it is, and then they will test that. It will then come back. And they will tell you at that time, either Self or the company that you had it tested at will call you back and let you know, yes, you are positive, no, you're not positive. If you're coming back positive, they will give you steps and stuff that you need to do to isolate yourself, different than quarantine, isolate yourself within your home and stuff. Online right now, and that's one of the things I've done in my house, is we've already identified a sick room. And what I mean by that is that's where we're going to have the individuals that do come down with it, and we're going to put them there. We've already set it up so it's ready to go. It has its own bathroom. It has its bed. Only thing is we're still working to get a TV in there. But anyway, saying
George,
that.
George, is this for you and your wife, or are you taking in people? I just need to know.
Well, it's for my family. Put it that way.
Your family. Okay.
So we'll do it that way. But then, but also the CDC has a good list of things that you need to check off on and be able to do, and how to deal with those individuals when they are sick. And so some good things to go ahead and start looking at and getting prepared for that now. On that.
You know, thinking about people in closed places, what are the prisons going to do?
As far as that, right now, well, I'll tell you what our jail does. Right now, we've already established with Abbeville the capability to take some. They have a wing that they can bring people into, and we've already worked with them to bring in females over to this side in Greenwood that we have places that we can do it. So if we have people that are positive, we will do that. That is a tough challenge, and so that's the reason early on we shut down visitations to the jails and stuff. So that is one of the things. One of the things they're doing right now in that is they're trying to work through the process to get out as many individuals as possible, not any individuals that would be of a threat to the society, but that they can get out. They're trying to get those out as much now, and that's working through the solicitor's office as well as other the magistrate's office and stuff of that nature, too.
Wow. Well, that's because they're just in so close proximity and everything. So that's a biggie. Now, the hospitals have closed out. You can't go visit, correct?
Correct.
Is Self still letting one person? I mean, it was, or have they changed that totally now?
No, they've changed that totally.
So if you're in the hospital, you are all alone.
Well, yeah, but you have a phone.
You have a phone. Okay.
And most people have cell phones. So I understand it doesn't do as good as face-to-face. But once again, it's the best solution that we have right now for this process. So I would say, yes, you have to go to the hospital. That is one of the issues that you will deal with right now. But I'm sure they're working through the process as best they can. And there are some great people there that have been working on that.
Sure. Absolutely. So, you know, thinking about how is the state, because you work with the state and emergency management and everything, how are they seeing this COVID-19 coming together here in our state?
Well, one of the things they're working on right now at that level is how we are working together. They're pulling together tasks. It's something we plan for, but when you plan, there are so many variables that come up, you can't plan for them all. And so there's some things that we're having to plan for right now, and they're doing a good job working through those processes. I think the biggest thing that we're doing right now is trying to slow that spread of that of the virus. And if we can keep it slower, then our medical system can keep up with it. That's going to be the critical piece that we have across. And they're doing lots of work through DHEC, through EMD, as well as other organizations to support those processes. And it's not just DHEC and those. I mean, there's people that are thinking outside of the box. And so there's other things that are going on out there. So I would encourage those people to, if you're at home, to think outside the box on how you're going to deal with some of these things, because there is a solution. You just got to think of it.
Well, I was just talking to somebody when you came in this afternoon, and he was talking about how his daughters that are in their early 30s are just, oh my God, how do we deal with this? And one daughter was saying that she might have to come home, and she lives in, I don't know, Chicago or something, and she asked her dad, how many tanks of gas would it take, and how much gas should she carry in her car to be prepared if she couldn't get gas?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are obsessed with worry here.
Well, and I think of that, but I haven't seen a gas station closed yet.
I know, that's what I'm talking about. But isn't it nice that the price of gas has come down?
Yeah, it is. But in a way, it's unfortunate, too, because that's a big indication of the need. I mean, the demand is not there for, and the supply. Yeah. And so that's really hurting some of the businesses, too. So,
sure.
I mean, and I'm sure fuel locations are hurting, too, because now they're they bought this fuel probably at a higher price, and now they're having to sell it. So, I mean, but, you know, also convenience stores, some of their price to really make money is inside the convenience store in lots of cases, too. So it's going to be tough, but I'm glad it has come down some. I mean, I know from the standpoint of that, I'm able to fill my tank up a little bit cheaper now.
That's true.
Keep a little bit more there.
That's true. So as we move forward, you think that the grocery stores are going to fill back up, or are we going to be short on food into the gas station, into the grocery stores?
Well, it is a supply issue right now, a supply chain issue. trying to get that there, because as a business, you try to keep a stock that is just right on the edge so that you're not having to throw away stuff and lose profit. So right now, it's going to be a little while to get that back up. But I do think the markets will come back in
just quit hoarding, right?
Well, and I think, like I say, we should have enough food out there right now in the county that we don't need to go in and hoard. I mean, we should have, somebody or someplace there's more toilet paper than we'll use in a year. So I think we're good with that in the sense. And so I encourage people that if you go back out, just let the supply chain catch back up and just purchase what you need. Don't purchase what you think you need. Buy what you need and just go there.
I've had some great stories on Facebook. I remember this one where some lady had taken all the hamburger and the steaks or whatever. This one gal just wanted one pack of hamburger for her family. She kind of gave her the look. The other lady looked back at her, and then the other lady snatched a pack of hamburger out of her cart, and the lady just glared at her like, "What are you doing?" But she got her hamburger anyway.
Well, I hope it doesn't come to that anymore. I hope that we'll catch back up. And I understand there's people out there that are still trying to catch up. So we need to work with them and try to help them out too. So
I think one of the best things you've said here this afternoon is about keeping an eye on your neighbors, working. I know if you live in a neighborhood where y'all can get together and say at 6 feet of distance,
right,
telephone calls or whatever, and note the ones that could be having some help. And so many times the ones that need the help don't want to say anything.
That's true. And that's the reason it's good to know your neighbors beforehand, because they're more apt to talk to you then. And that's the reason I went through, we have our coffee group, and they know everybody in the neighborhood. And if I don't know what's going on in the neighborhood, I'm able to find out what's going on in the neighborhood. But anyway, they've talked to each other. So, and I would encourage this to churches and everything else to do this as well, because you don't know, they may live out on, nothing negative about Highway 67, but they may be living out there and not in a neighborhood. So I encourage people, if you know that they're out there, please talk to your neighbors and work with them and find out about what they may need.
And some of our elder people are totally terrified to go out because they've been so scared. Even if it would be safe for them to go out, they are totally scared.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and that's the reason I say, especially if they're elderly or if they have any underlying medical issues, those are the ones that we definitely, I'm not saying others don't need it, they may be scared too, but we need to help those as well, because they are the ones that are most susceptible to this disease right now.
All right, George, have we got anything else you'd like to, that we didn't cover, that maybe you'd like to say again or close with?
No, I would just say, let's don't panic. And let's work together, and we'll all get through it. Like I say, none of us is better than all of us together. We can all accomplish everything if we work together.
We can. Of course, and with Code Red.
At Code Red.
I knew we had to mention Code Red once. And you know, by the way, is Code Red putting out any special notifications or anything?
We are not at this time. We will. I'm trying to save some of that, because I just saw as we came in, we may have some severe weather tomorrow. So all of this other stuff is not going to stop because COVID's here. So we're working through and utilizing that as for there. If we get to a point that I need Code Red, I will put stuff out across that board. We're trying to use radio stations, internet, everything else as we can to get this information out as well, too.
All right. We have been talking with George McKinney, Emergency Management. George, what's a number if people want to call or to look you guys up? What would be a number?
The number to call is 864-942-8553. If you go to our county website, which is greenwoodcounty-sc.gov, if you go on there and you have COVID questions or something, we have a website there. We are also on our Facebook, our Twitter, and our Instagram page. If you have questions, comments, we are taking those in there. We will try to get back. But if you have a direct call you want to make, once again, that's 864-942-8553, and that is manned from 8 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you leave a message, we'll look it up in the when we get in first thing in the morning.
That's terrific. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Hey, one last question. when people are calling 911, has there been any change about how they're doing things?
No, and that's it. Just asking those questions that you'll get up there. If you're calling for any type of respiratory, they're going to ask you questions, or they're going to ask these questions no matter which call you get. They're going to ask, do you have a fever? Do you have any shortness of breath or anything? So that we can make sure that our first responders, EMS and fire, if we're sending them, are safe when they get there and prepared. That's a big thing.
So be prepared to answer the questions. Hey, George, thanks for taking time out of your busy day. I know I pulled you away from so many things, but thanks for coming out this afternoon.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, Ann.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.